Russia moves to nudge oil prices in what consumers would see as the wrong direction. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the shifting of resources to help people after the earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria this week. Authorities say 21,000 people have died, making this even more deadly than the massive quake in northern Turkey back in 1999. The UN says the first convoy of aid into Syria, 14 trucks, has now crossed into the country. Thousands of people from the 10 most affected provinces in Turkey have gotten out of the region. Victoria Craig joins me now from Ankara, the capital. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, David.
You've been speaking to people arriving about 300 miles north of the hardest hit part of Turkey. How did people get there?
Any way they possibly could, David. They've been driving huge buses full of, 50 people or more. Some people, if they could get their cars out, they drove that way. Others have taken planes, they said. So it's kind of just a free-for-all, really. It's just anyone getting out in any way they possibly can.
All right. So temporary shelter, the top priority. Is local government developing plans to help beyond shelter?
Yeah, it's really all a work in progress. And I put that question exactly to the shelter director here in Ankara yesterday. And she said, right now, as you say, the focus is getting people here, finding them a warm place to stay, food to eat. One young man I spoke to said all he had eaten in about 2 days was a really small portion of soup at the disaster site. So really, the priority is all on just getting people to safety. Many people that I talked to there don't plan to go back home. They want to stay either here in Ankara or relocate to another city in the northern part of the country. The big question, though, is whether they're going to be able to find work. The director of the shelter said they'll be around to assist in some capacity, but there just isn't an official plan underway for those kinds of things just yet.
In earthquake zones, both Syria and Turkey, rebuilding will be a colossal undertaking, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a big unknown number, how much it's going to cost to rebuild and how much all of this is going to affect the economy. One economist I did speak to yesterday said it could cost about 2% of Turkey's GDP, which would be somewhere in the ballpark of about $17 billion. And you think about the longer term impact of all of this, too, on those provinces that have been affected. They were big contributors to food and textile exports here. So, you think with millions of people displaced, businesses closed, factories damaged, roads impassable. The longer this rebuilding effort takes, the longer there will be an impact on the economy.
All right. Reporter Victoria Craig, a familiar voice on this program, is now based in Ankara, Turkey. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Turkish regulators have instructed banks there not to charge fees on disaster relief donations. Now, we just saw $9 a dozen eggs in the store, but at least at the wholesale level, the price of eggs has dropped by 50% since the end of last year. And the poultry industry says they could help even further with more supply. But to do that, they would need food safety rules to be eased for eggs. Marketplace's Nova Safo has that.
Believe it or not, chicken farmers and egg farmers are not one and the same. Chicken farmers raise chickens for meat. And egg farmers, well, they sell eggs. And egg-laying chickens have been hit hardest by a bird flu outbreak, which has reduced supplies and spiked prices. But to raise chickens for meat, you need eggs too. And the trade group National Chicken Council, yes, that's what it's called, says its members have nearly 400 million surplus eggs, which could be brought to market. The trouble is, eggs meant for hatching are not refrigerated in as low a temperature as the Food and Drug Administration requires for eggs meant for consumption. With Easter around the corner, though, the council is petitioning the FDA to reverse or modify that policy so chicken farmers can sell their eggs and increase the overall supply. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Crude oil is up 1.2% this morning in New York, $79 a barrel. You can thank Russia. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
So Russia just announced that they're cutting oil output by as much as 500,000 barrels per day. And oil prices last night jumped in response to that. The official explanation, by the way, this is revenge against the West. But I suspect it may also have something to do with the fact that oil prices have really tumbled in the last month, down about 9%, because the weather in Europe and in the U.S. has been so much warmer than it usually is this time of year.
Indeed, the temperature on Wall Street today is expected to reach 61 degrees on this 10th day of February. With all the hiring we're seeing, for many, the economy is roaring along, yet there's the inflation, and it's also a time many bigger companies are announcing layoffs by the thousands. This contradiction presents a challenge to advertisers trying to get the tone right for the Super Bowl on Sunday. Janine Poggi is editor at Ad Age, which tracks the Super Bowl of ads very closely. Hi, Janine.
Hey, David.
Interesting time, right? Some of these advertisers are going to be putting out these glitzy ads and trying to find the right tone because they themselves, the company, are laying off some of their own people.
It sure is. You know, the economy, anything that's going on in the environment around the game always seeps into it in some way, right? You have Google obviously made massive layoff announcement, you know, last month, yet they're in the game with an ad. So you have these brands that are cutting employees and at the same time running Super Bowl commercials. And there's a lot to talk about, you know, in the history of marketing, especially during any sort of economic downturn. But still, the conversation and just the overall PR strategy and appearance, it's hard to swallow for some.
Yeah. And you just imagine the difficulty of the meetings these companies are having because they themselves may be laying off some of their own people, yet the job market in general in America is still very strong. And they have to be mindful of the general outlook in the economy.
Right. And I think for the most part, what you'll see for this year's Super Bowl commercials, you're not going to have any brand sort of really heavy-handed leaning into the conversation of any sort of economic weakness. But I do think that because of what's going on around us, you will see for the most part, brands do lighter commercials. And I think you'll see some of them, maybe a couple, lean into more of the cost savings aspects of their brands, but it really won't be heavy-handed.
Before we go, there's one last Blockbuster store and they're doing some advertising in the big game.
Yeah, they're doing a fun play on a VHS, putting out a commercial on a VHS tape. So I guess if you have a VHS player, you can maybe watch that.
All right, Janine Poggi, she's editor at Ad Age. Always good to talk to you.
Same here. Thanks so much.
And a published report indicates that Twitter boss Elon Musk fired a Twitter engineer on the spot for showing Musk data indicating that people are just less interested in him these days. The Verge says Musk had been complaining that Twitter was broken somehow, with engagement tapering down for his tweets. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jess Anduler and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.